My agent said if you wear glasses, you'll look different to Keith Lemon. Who did you fancy when you were a little girl?
Casper the Ghost.
No, you didn't. He's cartoon. Did you fancy him as a ghost?
He had a nice energy,
his massive, big ball head.
There's something about him I liked.
Because he had hands like mittens.
What's the difference between a longboard and a skateboard?
A skateboard is sort of that that size.
Yeah.
My dick. Yeah, the Craig David mask was a Bill Clinton mask that I bought and chopped the top off and drew a beard on. Mel B's mask was Prince Charles and I just chopped the top off. It is a joke. I didn't mean it.
Lee, welcome to So Wrong It's Right.
Do you know what? You know when I'm on things and, they give you a cup or a glass, I'm telling you it's a glass of water, isn't it? I always feel compelled to use it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they put it down there as a prop, really, don't they? Oh, look, you're in someone's home. Welcome to our home. It's not a home, it's a studio. But I won't drink that anymore, sorry.
This is a home. Don't touch those. They are purely decorative.
Right, I won't touch them. I do like your pineapple.
You do?
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of Only Fools and Horses. And they had one because, do you know who Lucy Cave is?
Yeah.
She bought me one and she said she bought it off eBay. And she said it was a prop from Only Fools and Horses.
Did you actually? Lucy, did you buy this pineapple?
But it's like that, isn't it?
So every guest that comes in, it's like divides opinion. People hate it or they love it.
Oh, no, it's kitsch, isn't it?
Ryland said, oh, you stole that off Alison Hammond. That's from this morning set.
All right. Do you like it?
I don't.
All right.
If I'm
What's
honest,
your house like?
The opposite of this.
Yeah, but you haven't got one of those sofas that's like that silvery velvet stuff, have you?
I did.
You, yeah.
In my first apartment.
I've never liked that fabric at all, ever.
It was just shiny and...
Every famous person had that sofa.
Spunk stained.
You had spunk stains on it. What, was your husband wanking onto it?
It was before I was married. That was my single sofa.
Oh, right.
And then when I moved out of that flat, we got our house, we live in together now, he was like, that's a really nice sofa, bring it up. I said, you don't want that sofa.
Oh, was it so other people's spunk?
It's just a single life. That sofa just had a lot of action.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Or did you like do like sexy times on the sofa?
It was a great
don't
sofa.
Like that idea, you see.
And the velvet would make for a really strange feeling.
Oh, my God. About like a dirty old man's lap after he's been to a lap dancing place.
You've led me nicely there. The wife, Jill.
Yeah.
Met at uni?
No, I met her in a pub.
Back home in Leeds?
Yeah, I went to art college with her sister. I was out with one of my friends and we bumped into her. My dog had just died, so I was drowning my sorrows. And then Jill walked into the pub. She'll tell you the story differently, but she walked into the... You've met Jill?
Yeah, I've met Jill.
She walked into the pub and waved at her sister. And I said to Louise, I said, you never said you had any fit mates. She went, it's my sister. I went, oh, sorry. And then she came over, they were talking. And then I heard Louise say to Jill, Lee fancies you. And then she turned around and looked at me. I went, hello, you look nice. My name's Lee. And some chat and stuff. And then she went with a friend to the other side of the bar. And luckily, she must have liked me a little bit because she was looking at me and I was looking at her. And when she was looking over, I looking away and then looking back at her. And then she was looking at me and then she would look away. You know, like you do when you're a teenager and you fancy someone.
How old were you?
I was 19 and she was 16. Yeah. Which when you're 19 and 16, everyone goes, ah, cradle snatcher.
Well,
polite word that I think you can use nowadays.
Yeah.
And she came over and said, are you going to buy me a drink? I went, no, I don't really know you. and then she says, what are you up to? I said, oh, my dog's just died, so I'm just getting drunk with my mate. Are you going anywhere after this? She says, we might be. I said, oh, I'm going to Mr. Craig's. Do you want to come there with me? She gave me a phone number and she didn't go there with me. And then she left it 3 days before she answered the phone. And then she answered the phone. And she said she was playing hard to get for 3 days. And then I met her in Dartmouth Square in Leeds. And we went to McDonald's. And I said, do you want to come back to my mum and dad's? And she came back to my mum's house. And then I said to her, do you want to come upstairs and I'll show you some videos I've made? Isn't it weird? Didn't seem weird back then. And then I showed her loads of home videos. I used to make home... I got a video camera when I was 16.
Okay.
And I used to... I guess everything you've seen me on telly, I've already done at home when I was 16. And I just showed her loads of silly videos. And then I went, hey, should we go to cinema? And we went to see White Men Can't Jump. And then I just stared at her all the time in the cinema.
And
then, she's beautiful. And then I went to put her in a taxi and she said, are you going to give me a kiss goodbye? I went, oh, yeah. and then did. And we saw each other for three weeks every day. And then we better see our mates, aren't we now? And then we went to see our mates and went out with my mates. And we went to this pub and there was this girl being sick in corner. And they're going, go on, get it up. And my mate went, Lee, you dirty bastard. What if that were your girlfriend? I went, it fucking is. She might not appreciate me saying that, but you know, we're out now as me and Jill. I never normally me. Well, when we went shopping, I was Keith Lemon.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be here as me.
How long have you been married?
21 years, and we've been together 31 years.
Jesus.
I've been very lucky because when you meet the one, you know, and everyone says well done, but I just go, yeah. But I didn't do anything.
Has it just generally feels easy?
I guess I don't think about it too much. And then suddenly it's been 21 years.
Wow.
I might take my fake glasses off.
Oh, I like them because we look like we planned it. Or are they putting you off for your vision?
Yeah, I can see better without them. Isn't that weird?
Because what, have they just got a stamp, like no lens in them?
No,
just plastic?
Clear. My agent said if you wear glasses, you'll look different to Keith Lemon.
Right, let's talk about Keith.
I've just told the secret. But you'll see me on another show and I'll have glasses on. You'll know they'll be
fake.
I know
what you're doing. Is that a conscious thing now to separate?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Because you weren't for so long.
I know, but you know what happened? I'm really old now, I turned 50, and I decided I wanted to do some things as myself that I wouldn't have been able to do as Keith Lemon, because people are a little bit scared sometimes when you're in character. So you can't do things such as Bake Off and win. And you can't do such things as Portrait Artist of the Year and win. I'm blowing my own trumpet out. But yeah, stuff like that. I loved Portrait Artist.
Yeah.
And I don't
that
think
was emotional.
I was emotional.
It was, yeah.
I had wobbly voice. You know, when they're going, how do you feel? I feel good. I'm really chuffed. And I watched it, obviously, because you do watch yourself, don't you? You do.
I find it really hard, really tough, yeah. I've only started watching myself since doing the documentaries because...
Well, it's interesting, those shows, I guess. When you're in Love Island, you're not going to sit watching yourself because that's different... Think you're going to watch stuff you've made.
Yeah.
Because you want to know it's right.
I struggle. My exec was like, are you watching this? And I was like, oh. And even my agent would be like, have you watched this cut? And I'm like, do you know what it is? I need to watch it to get better at the skill.
Right.
But I just don't like, I'm like, is that what my voice actually sounds like?
Yeah,
to me,
I don't
it's like nails
voice.
On chalkboard.
Yeah.
But then I think if someone's sued by the sound of their own voice, they're probably...
You know what I like about you? Because I told you when we went shopping, I didn't know who you are. I was talking about Kelly Brook. I think you're real.
Thank you.
And so you shouldn't change your voice or anything,
okay,
you know
just
what I mean?
Carry on with it.
Well, like, I'm contradicting myself because I did change my voice all the time. But no, I think you're good and you should keep it real.
Thank you. Just to give context to listeners, we did your show Shopping with Keith Lemon, which was where you were as Keith.
Yeah.
We basically shopped. And on our episode, we went to Pet Store.
Yeah.
And just basically caused havoc.
Oh, we went to a tip, didn't we? Or
yes.
Do you say recycling a tip or a dump?
I forgot that bit. Yeah.
And it stunk, remember?
Stunk.
And I had yellow shoes on. I was so worried. Because I don't want to get shit on my shoes, and they were new.
Lee/Keith didn't have a fucking clue who I was. Someone just put me on, and they turned up. And then we had fun, didn't we?
Yeah, well, I think we kind of gelled
straight away.
I didn't think, oh, this is an ad, I'm a fucking hater. Because I ain't done many that I'm not going to say anything negative.
Oh, yeah, come on, give me something.
No, most people are nice out there. Most people are nice. Do people say to you, who's the worst person you've met?
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it?
It's a bit negative question, isn't it, I think.
But also sometimes it's a brief encounter. Like you say, when you're doing jobs like that, there'll be some days that go quicker and there's some people you've gel with, other people it's slower, but it's not because they're a bad person, it's because they're boring.
Well, they might have had a bad day.
Oh yeah, they might have an off day.
You know what I mean? Have a bad day. They might have, I don't know, before they left the house, they had one of those red cards through the door saying we tried to deliver, but you want in. And they go, fuck, 5 minutes earlier, I would have caught postman. That's going to ruin their day.
Yeah, that's annoying.
That really ruins my day.
Yeah.
Because now I go, fucking hell. Now I've got to go to the post office. That's not a post office. It's a wine shop. Eh? And then I can't park anyway. And then, so something I've ordered from ASOS that was £40 now costs me £90 because I've got a ticket because I parked outside. I won't get caught. I'll only be 2 minutes. And then you get a ticket.
The worst is when they go, we tried you, but you were in there. And you're like, no, you fucking didn't.
Oh,
no,
yes.
No, you fucking didn't.
Yes. Liar. That is the worst, isn't it?
Oh,
and you've waited
that
in.
Boils my piss.
You've
that.
Waited in. I was in all day.
They're like, we tried for
you. I know, they say, oh, sorry, sir, sorry. You're not sorry, you don't give a fuck, do you? You're just going to do your job until 5:30 and then you'll go home whilst I'm cursed with fucking constant ideas and I can't sleep because of the bastard things. Shit, it's 3:00. I've got an ace idea. I better write it down. Fuck, now I'm going to be knackered all day. It's going to feel like I'm hungover.
Oh, the dopamine hangover.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, ADHD. We get the dopamine hangover.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
What, do you wake up like middle of the night then? Yeah. Can't get back to sleep?
Well, I have a piece. I'm not a creative genius like you. What I write down is like a pair of shoes that I saw I wanted, but it's constant dialogue. So I always have a piece of a pad and a pen everywhere I am by my bedside table as every night as long. Since I got diagnosed, one of the first things she told me to do, had it there. And then, yeah, so the things come, I turn the little bedside light on like random times to write things. It drives my husband
insane. When were you diagnosed then?
So I was like, as a kid, people talked about me having it constantly. Yeah. So teachers and like, I don't know, these people that assess kids, not pedos, but like, you know, like, but you know, what I don't want to call.
I like the idea. Pedos assess kids. They do something far worse than assess them. Don't they?
But you go,
bastards.
Oh, she feels like she might have ADHD, but she's a girl. We don't, you girls don't really. And it was all that for about 10 years. And then when I was 21, around that age, I basically was like heading towards what felt like, I felt like I was dying. I was basically heading into a bit of a depression.
Right.
And when I went to go and finally get some help, I felt like everything was shutting down and I was like losing weight. And I had this 2-hour assessment with this lovely, amazing psychiatrist, and she was like, I can tell you exactly what's going on here. You've got ADHD and the way you're living your life is making everything worse and your body's just like, yeah. What about you?
Well, I've not been diagnosed with it, but I don't know if I should say it, my daughter's got ADHD and it's genetic.
Yeah.
So we're kind of deciding between us, me and Jill, who's got it then?
Well, I met Jill and I'm saving some time.
But one of the traits is being a shopaholic.
Yeah, it's
and I
dopamine.
Am. I'm a shopaholic. I love it.
Do you love buying things?
I love it. There's nothing better than getting home and seeing a big brown box with a black smile on it, is there? Oh, the rush.
Is that
me?
No. Amazon.
Oh, fuck. Has anything come for me? Sometimes I'll phone up in the middle of the day. Has anything been delivered for me? No. Oh, it's going to be shit tonight. Then.
What kind of things do you like to buy?
I buy clothes and shoes and toys.
What kind of toys?
Movie toys.
You like collectible things, don't you?
Yeah, I have, I call it a room of shame, where it's filled with 12-inch plastic men. That it's the chase to get a toy that's really rare, put it in that room, and when my mates come around, I go, come look at this. I go, look at that Brad Pitt doll there from Fight Club. I go, yeah, it's cool. And I go, no. Do you want a beer? Yeah, all right then. What did you get it for? Don't know. Don't know. I've got a lot of old stuff as well that I had that I didn't have when I was a kid. And you know, when you get your own wage and you're allowed to buy whatever you want. So I've bought stuff that I didn't have when I was a kid. So that's nice. It's just
I did that.
You go in there and regress and go, oh, lovely time. And then sometimes I go in there and go, what a waste of money. What a waste of money. But what would I have done with it? Anyway, I'm not into cars.
No.
People say to me, what car have you got? I go, oh, a black one.
You don't drive though, do you?
Yeah, I do.
You do now?
I've been driving since I was 35 and I'm 51 in a week's time.
Why did I think when you came in you were saying you don't drive?
Oh, because I was talking about when I didn't drive, when I used to ride a BMX
story.
All the time. And I lived near Sid Owen and rode past his house being chased by loads of kids. And he said, did I see you get chased by loads of kids on a BMX? Well, yeah, I looked like Rocky, didn't I? But on a BMX. And that was my means of transportation. And I had a longboard. I used to skate around on a longboard for a long time as well.
I can see. What's the difference between a longboard and a skateboard?
A skateboard is sort of that size.
Yeah.
Like my dick. it's not that. Everyone asks me if my dick's really big. Because Keith Lemon's got a big dick. Not because I'm ginger. Why have gingers got big dicks?
I know two things about ginger people. Apparently they have big dicks and it's impossible to put them to sleep under anaesthetic.
Is it?
They need
that might be true. That might be true.
They need triple the amount of I was going to say a normal person, but a non-ginger person.
You're
I don't
normal.
Know why, but yeah.
We're not normal.
Have you ever had a general anaesthetic?
Yeah, I think that might
have
been
the case. And did they say they had a problem getting you under?
Yeah, because they were giving me injections.
This is true, guys.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of elective surgery, so I know a lot about aesthetics.
And it was in my dick, what they were giving it.
Fucking hell.
So they had to give me 2 gallons.
Did you have the sniff?
No, I ain't got a big dick, because people ask me if that's my dick when I'm Keith Lemon. And There's a drawer full of dicks that I used to just stick on because it's a fake one. And mine's inside like a tiny prawn crying.
Micro?
No, not a micro, just normal.
It's outside
thing.
The body, but...
Yeah.
Am I right?
Well, a micro dick's really small, isn't it?
Yeah, I see it on my documentary. It has to be less than two centimetres.
Really?
It's bad.
Oh, it's 2.5 mine, so I'm all right. Do you know what? We have a low pain threshold as well. Like, I hurt more than you.
Aww.
Yeah, it's like a man flu's a true thing as well. If you look that up, man flu's real. It is. I know women always go, oh, fuck off.
What, as in that you get flu worse than us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think women are like superhumans. Mm. And you know what happened? You always live longer than us, but you have more problems because you've got too many wires.
There's a lot going on.
You've got loads of wires, haven't you, inside you? Men are simpler. We fart and just die. But you live forever. We don't have any problems. And then, one day I fart and the blood will come out and I'll fucking die and that's it. But you live forever. You do, though, don't you?
We do seem to be more resilient.
It's normally the lady that's outlived the man in the relationship, isn't it?
There it is, actually.
My dad died when he was 47.
That's so sad. Yeah, why?
Cancer. So, that's why I did Bake Off, Stand Up For Cancer, because of my dad. And I've got a couple of friends that are having a tough time as well.
It feels like it's everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah. It used to be 1 out of 3, and now it's 1 out of 2. It's terrifying, isn't it?
Horrendous.
Yeah, so you've got to live your life, man, and really enjoy your pants to bits, I think.
Keith Lemon, let's just go back to him quickly, because I know the listeners are all going to want to know this. And where does Lee start and Keith end? And how much do you cross over?
Well, in the beginning, he was about... 3 sides of paper. That's what Keith Lemon
was. So it
was
just an idea.
Just an idea. He's going to do this. He's got a really mundane job where he sells security pole, but he has aspirations of being someone famous, and he had aspirations of being a famous TV presenter. And I can remember when I started doing Through the Keyhole, and one of my friends saying, the biggest con in media is you doing a primetime show. And I know, but that was the plan. See if we can con this character into primetime. And when it did, I was like, oh, it worked.
That's so nuts. The character himself had dreams of being this big TV star, and then Keith Lemon became this big TV star.
Yeah, but... He's a couple of people I know in real life that I've stolen traits from.
I read this. Didn't you take the name from someone?
Keith Lemon is one of my best mates from Leeds that I've known since I was 3 or 4.
What's life like for him now with that name?
Well, I think he used to like it, then hated it, then he got married, and now he's single. And now I think he likes it because he's got a good story when he's got chat with ladies. Yeah. He's got a story. Before mobile phones, you won't remember. He used to have a photograph of me in his wallet. He would show people, go, it's my mate in real life, look. And I went, Keith, it just looks weird. You've got a picture of me and you in your wallet. It looks weird. He can't remember this, but I remember, because I remember him showing me, going, got this picture, because we've got a wicked picture of us when we were kids. So that looks like it should be a poster in Athena. Don't know why I said Athena. You won't remember Athena. It used to be a shop that sold posters.
No, I actually don't know that.
No, I knew you won't, because it's really old and you're young. You remember Athena, don't you? All my references are a bit old. But it looks like it should be a poster, this picture. And we're tied up in a skipping rope, and there's another friend in the poster called Daniel Rogers. We're all still mates. So I've just done the tour, and then we finished in Leeds, and most of the audience were just made up of my mates and family, and it was wonderful. It was so wonderful. And it was at the Grand Theatre, which is like a mini version of the Palladium. But we did the Palladium as well.
And that's the first tour you've ever done.
Yeah, again, because I've turned 50, I thought there's things I've got to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get too old that I wouldn't be able to do it or I wouldn't be around. And because my job, what I do, most people come in via stand up, don't they? I guess comedians. I'm not a comedian, I don't know what I am. But I worked in television and then came in front of the camera. That's what happened to me. And I thought, I'm kind of going backwards now. I'll do a tour and then I'll have no work and fail and get a real job. I'm going backwards is what I'm doing.
You were working production side?
I used to make props and do graphics for telly.
And then you managed to get in
front. So what happens, I was a graphic designer for the Yorkshire Evening Post, but I used to send videos off for 3 years, nearly every day. And then I got a job. I got a live audition, actually, on a TV show called... Watch This Space.
I remember that.
Was on Channel 4.
Yeah.
And I came last, but the producer, Mifanwi Moore and Hester Davis, they liked my ideas because I brought down loads of ideas. I came down from Leeds to London and, wow, London. And had all these ideas in a portfolio that I'd done. And they liked my ideas. And they said, oh, we're setting up a new channel in a couple of weeks called the Paramount Channel. We might give you a call of what they want. And they did, whilst I was working at the Yorkshire Evening Post as a graphic designer. And they said, oh, we're going to offer you a job as an ideas person. And I went, what's that mean? And they said, you just got to come up with ideas for things. I didn't ask too many questions because I would look stupid. And I said, oh, so what's the pay then? They went, what are you on now? And I was on 10 a year. And I said, I get 11. And they went, well, we'll give you 12. I went, okay, yeah, I'll take the job, thanks. And then put the phone down. I went, I'm rich! I'm rich! And then I said to my boss, I'm moving to London. I'm going to be on telly. He said, you can't even speak. And that's what I did. I moved to London and then I had a flat with no furniture. I had a sleeping bag and a lamp. And I said, Jill, come down. I've got a flat. We're ready. Let's go. So she moved down. And yeah, we had a sleeping bag and a lamp and nothing else.
What was your first big moment where you were like, fucking hell, this is actually happening?
I guess it was when Bus Selector happened.
And, Channel 4?
On Channel 4, yeah.
How long have you been working on those characters before that was picked up?
I've been working in telly for 8 years and I'd done loads of pilots that didn't happen to the point where I thought my job was making pilots, which I quite liked, if honest. Sometimes you get paid and sometimes you didn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, I worked at Paramount for 3 years. Oh, I'll tell you what, I did a sketch with Davina McCall and she said, here's the number of my agent. Have you got an agent? I went, no. She went, here is his number. Are you going to call him? I went, no. She went, do you want me to call him? I went, yeah. And then she called him and said, oh, I'm working with this guy. He's really funny. You should meet him. And then, so I met him. And then I was going for auditions and Paramount said, we need you 100% or not at all. And I told John, who became my agent, and he said, we'll tell him to fuck off. So I did, but I didn't say fuck off. I said, I think it's time for me to leave now. Thanks very much for the job. I really enjoyed it. And I left. And I was just didn't do anything. So I filmed myself following Richard and Judy, and I followed them for a month with a video camera and made a documentary about
it. With their permission?
No, just from a distance. Just from a distance. I'd film them coming out of the Ivy and out of ITV and do the voice of Avid Merrion.
Yeah.
And I go, the beautiful faces coming out and going inside and coming out and going inside and coming out of the buildings. And I put it together and I showed a man called Dan Mazer, who was the producer of Ali G. And he laughed at it. And I went, it's not funny. I said, I was doing serious acting. And he says, you're in a bath with a mannequin with Buffy the Vampire Slayer's face stuck on it. I says, no, it's really dark and weird, isn't it? And he said, what about him being a showbiz correspondent for this show called Show Me the Funny? And I went, how much? How much? Because I had no money. How much? he went, 150. I went, yeah. And I phoned Jill. I said, we're rich. He said, I'm going to get £150 for each sketch I do. I said, I'll just do millions of them. And that's what I did. And then a guy at Channel 4 said, so you had to vote for your sketch online in this show called Show Me the Funny. You vote what you want to see.
Yeah.
And I was getting loads of votes, which was good. And they thought I was voting for myself. I went, I ain't got a computer. And I didn't have anything. And this Channel 4 said, if you come up with a show, we'll give you your own show. We'll do a pilot for your own show. And I gave them 36 ideas, to which they said no every time. And then Jill's brother said, why don't you just do that thing with the masks? It's funny. And I wrote that down, give them that.
And were you were making your own masks?
No. So my mate, Paul Anganavala, who I made Keith Lemon the film with.
Yeah.
Me and him used to start with a camera just for fun.
Yeah.
And I had this mask that I bought in Blackpool. And I said to everyone I was Michael Jackson in this mask and they all laughed, thought I'll do that. And I said to my mate, Paul, I said, I've got this idea. It's called Michael Jackson's Day Off. And he just has a day off from being Michael Jackson, does normal things. He says, what does he do then? I went, he goes and buys hair gel, doesn't he? Do you remember Sally's?
Yes.
That beauty place.
It's still going.
Is it? Mm. We went to Sally's and bought some hair gel, but loads of it. And that was it. And so I had a tape, I guess. And then I did stand up once at Spitalfields Arts Cafe, which is a pub with a bit of a theatre stuck on it. And my mate said, can you do 5 minutes? I said, I'm not a stand-up comedian. He says, yeah, but you can make some shit up, can't you? I went, okay. So I took that Michael Jackson stuff and I did that on stage and everyone laughed. And then the next day I went into Talkback and said, oh, I did this last night. And they went, oh, why don't we do that on Show Me the Funny? So then we did Celebrity Day Off. And yeah, we did a pilot for Bow Selector. It's a long story, isn't it? Sorry if it's boring.
I'm really enjoying it. I think so many people will be interested because you just don't know all this stuff.
I didn't tell anyone. And so we did a pilot and it was in front of a studio audience, yeah. So I shit myself because I've never done it before. And Bow Selector didn't have a studio audience, so it's... Because that's why you do a pilot, see what works and what doesn't. And we waited for ages and I thought, it's not going to happen. Like, I already got to go back to Leeds, I thought it's over. And then luckily, a lovely man, one of the commissioners, Robert Popper, he got across the line and we did Bow Selector. And then we got told, if we get 1 million viewers, you know, Channel 4, I'm saying this politely, Channel 4 really like us, but the producer doesn't say, he said something totally different to that, but I won't say it. But he said, they'll really like us. And
what did he say?
He said they'll suck our dicks. But he didn't mean literally they'll suck our dicks. They'll like us.
Yeah.
But it means we're doing all right if we get over 1 million. And we did. And I can remember walking up Oxford Street to the office. And I went, I think more than 1 million, because I've just walked up the street and it were really weird. So everyone's looking at me. And then once I was in centre of London and I heard people doing the catchphrases from the show. And they didn't know I were there. And I went, fucking hell, this is nuts. It was nuts. But we were so busy making the show. We didn't know what was really going on outside the world of filming, because sometimes I would sleep in the edit. Because I'm not that much a control freak, but I wanted it to be how I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And often I would make the costumes because we got nominated for best makeup, but we didn't have any. And we went, well, who's going to go get it? I went, well, I draw my eyebrows on with that marker, so I'm going up for it. We're whiteboard markers.
Yeah.
That's what I had, a bag of whiteboard markers and some of Jill's old makeup that she didn't know I had. But when she found out, she went, you can't use that. I threw it out. It's out of date. You'll get something wrong with you. Your skin will flare up or whatever. And I said, oh, I only put it on my eyes, because the rest of it was masks anyway.
So
the Craig David mask was a Bill Clinton mask that I bought and chopped the top off and drew a beard on.
That's what I meant. You did kind of make them yourself. Yeah.
You kind of. Mel B's mask was Prince Charles, or King Charles now, and he just chopped the top off. And Michael Jackson's, I don't know what his was. It was just this weird face that I cut the mouth out and stuck a beard on. Don't know why I stuck a beard on. And everyone always goes, why did they have glasses? And it was just to make the eyes as big as the face. But you couldn't see out of those glasses.
Had no vision?
I went to opticians. As I said, I'm wearing these. Is anything going to happen? They went, how long are you going to wear it for? I went, if it goes well, about 6 weeks, 4 years. Wearing these glasses that I couldn't see out of. So I would have contact lenses. So I put these contact lenses on, then I can't see. Then put the glasses on, now I can see. But you didn't understand how far away things were.
Yeah.
So walking up steps was quite difficult. And then you would get used to it. And then when you take the contact lenses and the glasses off, then your mind was just fucked.
Oh,
and you're like, everything was like, oh, shit, shit, shit. Oh, then back to normal. Why am I getting migraines? But it was really fun, and I had a nice time, because none of us had worked in TV before. We were all fresh, young babies, and we were just guessing how to do it all.
Yeah.
And by series 4, we felt like we knew how to do it. And then I think we started writing scripts, because we'd often just make it up.
We was winging it.
Yeah, always. I still do now. And then after that, what did I do? I was really into The Bear, and I did A Bear's Tale with Patsy Kensit, who I used to have on my wall.
I remember that.
And Jill told her. She says, Lee used to have you all over his wall.
She was the pin-up, though.
I still love Patsy Kensit. I still love Patsy, and she knows I do. And, just funny enough, I've just been talking to mate that we were filming with this morning, and we were on about, he says, remember when you used to fancy Patsy Kensit? I said, I still do. And he says, isn't it weird? He says, you started working with someone who you used to wank over. I said, I never wanked over her. And I didn't know I was going to meet her one day when I was a kid, when she was in Absolute Beginners. Do you know what? She used to be in a band called Eighth Wonder.
Yeah.
I used to buy all the records, just go like that with record and just put the sleeve on the wall. No, I liked I'm Not Scared. It was produced by the Pet Shop Boys. Remember, I'm not scared, that one. And I said, oh, Patsy Kensit came over to our house and we had a pyjama party and watched TOWIE.
That's
amazing. You were sat there with your pyjamas on in front of her, weren't you? Which is weird when you're a little boy and you fancy someone. Who did you fancy when you were a little girl?
Casper the Ghost.
No, you didn't. He's
a fucking
cartoon.
When he turned into a boy.
Oh, when he turned into a boy, not when he was a ghost.
A little bit when he was a ghost.
Did you? You fucking lunatic. Did you fancy him as a ghost?
He had a nice energy,
with his massive ball, big ball head.
There's something about him I liked.
Oh, what, because he had hands like mittens. Oh, his lovely mitten hands. Do you know what? Remember the snowman?
Yeah, a bit like that.
The do you fancy the snowman?
No, or the brother from Hocus Pocus, you know, the older brother.
All right, yeah. Well, yeah, imagine if you met them now, you'd still have those feelings, wouldn't you? Go back in your mind.
Yeah.
So that's what it's like when I met Patsy Kensit.
I want to talk about, I think, a show that a lot of my listeners will know you from, Juice.
These are Sean Telly now called Juice, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a sitcom or something, but I was like, what the fuck's Juice? I did Juice. Are they doing Juice again with someone else?
Imagine. Celebrity Juice, how did that come to be?
Dan Baldwin, Holly Willoughby's husband, who was an amazing producer, came. Oh, actually, I was at Kate Thornton's birthday, and he introduced himself to me and Holly to me, and he said, would you work with someone else? And what do you mean? He says, I've got this idea for a panel show with Holly and Fern Cotton. I said, oh, I've got an idea for a panel show at the moment that I've been writing called Big Heads. And there was a show called Big Heads, wasn't there? It had, Jenny Powell in it and Jason Manford, I think. Anyway, but they had this idea called Celebrity Big Heads. And you had these inflatable heads on, and every time you got a question or a challenge correct, your head would inflate. And the winner was the person whose head got the biggest so that it burst when it hit these spikes. And we took some of the ideas from that and put it in this Celebrity Juice treatment.
Yeah.
And we used to play Celebrity Juice in the Talkback basement for about 6 weeks, to the point when, are we doing this on telly ever? And then we said, yeah, we're doing the pilot next week. I said, oh, where are we filming it? We're not filming it. We're doing the pilot live in front of the commissioner. So the boss of boss of ITV was Peter Fincham.
Yeah.
He sat there with people from the office to make up an audience, only a small audience, about twice the size of this room. And we did Celebrity Juice right to him. So I just looked at him like he was the camera. He was the viewer.
Oh, my God.
And me just doing everything to his face. And Holly and Fern. And then...
And was it always you were going to be Keith for that?
I didn't know in character if I could host a programme either. So that was quite nerve-wracking.
Was that your first big hosting as a character?
Yeah. Because I did host as me on a show. I missed that out of my story when my agent, John, said, I saw you do that programme. I thought you were shit. And I went, all right, I'm like 26 or something then. And I went, okay. And obviously I just thought he knows everything because he's got clients like Davina McCall, Denise Van Outen, and whoever else, all successful people. So I just listened to what he said. He went, what about if Lee Francis is dead? And we just do the characters. And I'm like, okay. Right, next week I want you to come into the office and do a character and I'll try and throw you out of character. So I didn't have enough confidence to come dressed as the character. I would get dressed as the character in the phone box outside his office, like a shit Superman. And then I would go in there as whoever.
Yeah.
And he'd sit down, right, where are you from? Who's your mum? What school did you go to? And we'd do that. And then he texts me at the end of the day, go, great, that one. Do another one tomorrow. Then I come in as, changing the phone box, come in as somebody else. Good, do another one tomorrow. And then at the end of the week, he went, I like that person, and that person. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have meetings with commissioners and I'm going to bring you in. But they're not going to know you're going to have they're going to have a meeting with you. So that's what we did. I'd be sat in his car while he's in Aldo Zilli's. A restaurant owned by Aldo Zilli.
Mm.
That's what it's called, Aldo Zilli. it was called Zilli Fish. And I'd wait for a text and it'd just say, now. And then I would come in as character, knock on the window whilst he's having a meeting with the commissioner and he'd signal me to come in. Then I would go in and he'd go, this is one of my new clients to the commissioner. And he'd go, what are you up to? And I don't know, as Barry Gibson, who became the bear, because there's a human version of the bear. I'm just going to the library. I've got some books and I haven't taken them back for 3 weeks. I'm going to have to pay fine. I expect more than £10 or something. I don't know. And then he used to go, sit down if you want and have a drink with us. So I did. And that's what we did for weeks and weeks. And then there was a commissioner called Stuart Murphy, who then worked for a channel called UK Play, which became BBC Three. And I did three characters in one night with him, but John was throwing booze down his neck. And I would go rush to the toilet and get changed, like Mrs. Doubtfire, because I'd already put my bag there previously, and then come back as someone else. And I did it three times. I did Barry Gibson, who was the Bear in human form.
Yeah.
Then I would do Barry Gibson's mum, who later down the line has become Myrtle Holden, Amanda Holden's gran.
Yes.
And I would do Keith Lemon. Keith Lemon would come with a portable karaoke machine and sing to the restaurant, and I got banned from there. And so that night, so the next day after that meeting, Stuart Murphy said to John Noyes, he says, I think you're taking advantage of these people because they're obviously not all there, are they? And he said, well, I'm going to tell you, it's one person. Last night you had a meeting with one person. Anyway,
shut up. He thought that...
Because he was a bit boozed up as
he
well.
He thought they was bringing in people
different
that
people,
were a
yeah,
bit like...
Yeah. And he said he can have his own show. That's what happened. And then they gave me own show called Here Is This. So I'll do a sketch and then link to a pop video. It was a music program. Everyone was doing like music programs then. And so I do a sketch and then just turn to camera and go, here is this. And then Madonna would come on or whoever. I don't know.
What a sick story though. You just don't hear stuff like that anymore.
Well,
like...
it was all his idea. And I'm in the middle of writing a book that comes out in September. I guess that's what I should use this podcast to plug that.
Yeah, do it. Straight down the lens. You
I've
know
got
how it goes.
A book coming out in September. You can pre-order it now at Waterstones and Amazon. I'm in the process of receiving it back from the spelling fairies who were telling me that I've spelled it all wrong. And I had a meeting yesterday and they did tell me I've spelled loads of things wrong. I said, oh yeah, I'm dyslexic, which is another trait of someone who's got ADHD, even though I've not been diagnosed, but I know that I can't spell anything. So yeah, that comes out. And I'm wasting all my stories on your podcast, so I should shut the fuck up and
no,
keep them for
really
my own
good
book.
For us. Keep going.
But they're more in depth in my book. And there's pictures of me as a baby. I look the fucking same. Bit in a Spider-Man suit. Yeah, I often wear Spider-Man suits at home.
Couple more questions about Juice. I know the viewers and the listeners are going to want it. Was it wild? Is it true? So I never got the... Was it boozy? I was like, I never got to go on. I always wanted to
had
be
it
a guest.
Finished when you became a person?
No, you actually chose my ex-boyfriend. Well, I don't know if he was in charge of choosing and
I
his...
Won't. I
was just
say
my ex-boyfriend and his boyfriend. My ex-boyfriend and his mate, they did it instead.
I always said it and it's true. I don't book the guests.
No, I'll let you off then.
Someone from Love Island came on.
Yeah, it was my... ex-boyfriend.
And I was, what was it?
Chris.
Chris and Kem. Sorry, Chris and Kem. I'm really old, I can't remember anything. They came on and I was chatting to them and Liz, the booker, was going, that's them. She wasn't saying that's them, but I'm saying that for listeners. She was mouthing, that's them. And I'm looking at them, I was talking to them going, who? And I thought they were out of the audience, just punters out of the audience I was talking to because they didn't watch it. So how am I supposed to know? And then she came, she went, that's Chris and Kem. I went, all right. I went, oh, yeah, they seem nice.
Did you have any involvement on guests?
Never.
Really?
No,
did you want it?
Yeah. It would have been a different show. Patsy Kensey would have been on every episode. It would have been a totally different show. And my bookings might have been totally wrong for it.
Who were some of your favourites?
Anytime you had mates on in real life.
Yeah.
So I'll just explain. When you've got a famous mate, you forget that they're famous because they're just your mate then, aren't they?
Yeah.
So when you have your mate on your programme, everything, all the telly cameras disappear and it's just you and your mate, which is sometimes a problem for the likes of me and Paddy sometimes because it would have become the Keith and Paddy show because I just direct everything at him because you do used to talk to your mate. But anyone who was a mate in real life was wonderful. Emma Bunton, yeah, Paddy. I loved it when Vern Troyer came on because he had the best manners of any human I've ever met. He's just such a lovely man. I mean, when you first meet him, you couldn't stop looking at him because he's like a baby that can walk and talk and everything. And then when you get to know him, he's just a lovely fella. But yeah, it was mad. It was mad
as
fuck.
Boozy? Was it a party? Did you have fun?
Well, that's why I said, I'll do it as long as they want it, you know, because it was just like... when people, near the end where people go, I don't watch Celebrity Juice anymore. It's not as good as it used to be. There's no way I'm walking away from an ace party where I get to meet loads of lovely people.
Yeah.
You get paid nicely and you get loads of free booze and you just get to hang out with people that you're interested in, I guess. It was ace. And then I got a call, I was in the pub with my mate and they said, oh, they're not doing any more Juice. I just went, okay. I didn't ask why. It's been 14 years. I thought, I can't complain. I'll say, why? And the mate said, how are you? I went, just had the best ride of my life. It was incredible. I did a show for 14 years and won two BAFTAs. So should we get another beer in and celebrate that what just happened? 26 series in 14 years.
That's insane.
Yeah, no. It'll never happen again in my life, to me.
Or probably in anyone's life. Like that especially the way telly is now, that's so fucking rare.
Yeah, something new coming out now won't last 14 years. Yeah. Yes, I mean, I don't know. Telly won't be around in 14
years. Did you think
years.
It was coming to its end? Did you think that call was coming?
I don't know. I just used to just go there and go, hey, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Just go there and what
we do. You never used to think at the end of one series, oh, I wonder if they recommission.
There was one part... I didn't know it'd last that long. I thought, if you get three series, to me, that's a hit, you know? Yeah. If you get three series, that's a hit for a TV show. And Holly and Fern, we did discuss at one point, if one of us leave, we'll all leave at the same time. And Fern was the first to go. I think she lasted 10 years. And she said she was leaving. And I went, I'm leaving. And she went, and she was like, don't, you don't leave. And I went, I said to Holly, I went, I can't leave, it's Ace, isn't it? who should we get then? And then we're both friends with Paddy and said, let's just get Paddy in.
Yeah.
So he did it for a while. Mel B did it for a while. A few different people did it. Then Holly was leaving and I went, oh, fuck it. There's no point in me doing it now because there's none of the original people. And Holly went, don't leave. Don't keep doing it. You still enjoy it, don't you? I went, yeah. She went, you should stay. Don't leave because I'm leaving. So then they had a rebrand and they wanted two new girls. And like, oh, they're sort of modern Holly and Ferns. Mm. And I was already friends with Laura and Emily. And so that were easy. You know what I mean? Yeah. We didn't have to, let's go out and see if we get on. Because I remember, I didn't know Holly and Fern when we started.
Did you not?
We went, me and Holly went to, remember V Festival in Chelmsford? Yeah. We went there. And because she's Holly, she can get things for free. And she got an RV. Is that what you call them here in England? RVs.
Like a trailer?
Yeah, yeah. She got one of those for free if she did a post. And we all stayed in this RV and stuff and we were fucking drunk out of our minds. I remember I left early. I was with Jade Jones, Emma Bunton's husband.
Yeah.
And we left before them and we left a message on the floor made out of bread. And it said, see you later, you cunts, in bread. But yeah, we got drunk out of our minds. I can remember having a cup that had like vodka, rum, wine, lager in it and just sipping it like a cup of tea. And leaning against Holly's RV with Holly, me still trying to stand up, and Holly going, I think this show's going to be good. And me going, yeah, I think it's going to work. And then I can remember saying to her once, I went, let's try and get to series 10. And she was like, that's fucking 2000 whatever. I went, let's just stick in there and see if we can get to series 10. Yeah. Then it was, series 26. Laura and Emily did the last three series. And so I felt a bit bad for them that they did three series and it finished because they didn't get time to start going. You know what people are like when you change it? Oh, they're not as good. Yeah, they're not as good. But then you get used to them and then you start liking them.
My, like, the parallel existence of Holly on Juice and on This Morning, like, wild, boozy, and then Good Morning.
Amazing, yeah.
Amazing, that's
the real Holly, I say. Yeah. I mean, she might say it isn't, but I think it's she's a lot of fun is Holly.
Yeah.
And on Juice, yeah, she's a great sport and you could say anything. But again, the stuff that we didn't would say on Juice that you wouldn't be able to do and say now. And but all the girls that did it were great sports and we had an ace time, I think. And
are you still in touch with Holly and Fern?
But people, when I do a live stream or whatever, people go, that's one of the questions. Do you still talk to Holly and Fern? No, sometimes I just stand in front of them and just look at them. of course I do. Holly and Fern, obviously when you see them somewhere, it's great. Yeah. I text, me and Fern talk about clothes quite a lot on text and go, you know that jacket I've got? And she go, fuck you, that was my jacket. When it's mine, I've got it. You can't buy it. You can't both have the same jacket. And I see Holly at things.
Yeah.
Stuff, yeah.
How do you think that telly and comedy's changing? Do you think we'll ever be able to have a naughty show like that again?
Well, the people that I work with always say that they think it'll come back round to being able to be naughty and stuff. But I just find it funny that comedy is taken so seriously because the clue is it is a joke.
Yeah.
It is a joke. I didn't mean it. Mm. It's a joke. And I've heard Jimmy Carr talk about it many a times, and he'll always put it better than I can because he's more intelligent than me. And but he can't draw ET as good as I can. I'm really good at drawing ET. But it's a joke. Yeah. And people being... I always think, why is it taking... I get hate crimes, it's horrendous, but a joke is a joke. It's the intention is to make someone laugh. Mm. And no matter what how you come at it, you're not... People don't do it with malice, I don't believe. I think they do it to make someone laugh. And you can go, "That I don't find that's funny." That's your opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's so subjective, comedy.
Of course.
And I think that's why stuff doesn't exist now that did in the past. And that I don't feel like there's as much comedy on TV as there was, because it divides an audience. So a commissioner won't take that risk because everyone wants ratings and they're terrified it's going to offend someone. Or it won't bring in a big audience because it does. You know, some of the biggest comedies that we know might have started off with a smaller audience, and suddenly they grow and then turn into cult, and then they turn into big mainstream.
Mm.
I think that was Celebrity Juice probably started off
journey.
As nothing, then cult, and then kind of mainstream, and then people go, "How come it should move to ITV1? No, it shouldn't. It works on ITV2. Mm. It works there, and we won't be able to do. What we do on ITV2 and ITV1 won't be able to do it. We won't get away with it. But yeah, I think it's pretty sad now that people take comedy so seriously.
Yeah.
I do.
I've loved chatting.
Oh, it's been nice. I hope I haven't said too much, and I hope I haven't said the wrong thing, and I hope I've done no clickbait stuff where Mail Online will go, "Oh, he fucking said this. Ha ha ha. Cancel him."
I hope you've done a bit of clickbaity stuff because it's good for the listeners.
It's not good for me because they always say bad things.
No, I'd never let them say bad things about you. But this is my game. You've got time.
I am, actually, because I've got my swimming lesson.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I can swim, but I'm just, like, training because I got at school, I got my bronze swimming award. And my kids, my eldest, has got a life-saving, so I'm a bit envious of that little badge.
Oh.
And so I'm training so I can get my life-saving award. So do you mind if one of my old pals does it?
Okay, yeah, fine.
All right, nice to see you.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for coming in.
I'll just put my glasses on so people don't recognise me on the streets. See you later.
Bye, Lee.
Bye.
Better.
Is it on?
Yeah, we're starting.
Hello.
Welcome to So Wrong It's Right. Thank you for stepping in for Lee.
Oh, thanks for having me. He has problems with the toilet, so he's probably gone to the toilet. He'll be gone for ages. Sometimes I fill in for him on the radio, and I do a thing called Barely News, where I take the showbiz gossip and sometimes elaborate on it.
Lovely. Should we play a game?
Yeah, I love games and stuff. What's up, my G? Yeah.
So, this is my box of wrong. I'm going to read to you some statements. We're going to decide if they're wrong, right, or so wrong they're right.
Oh, yes. First, like something that's so shit it's good.
Yes, exactly.
Like snakes on a plane.
Yes.
It's rubbish, but it's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
"I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on these motherfucking planes." You see. Remember, it's good, isn't it?
First up, Bear. I don't know if you use showers, but peeing in the shower...
Oh, generally, the toilet is quite close to the shower, so I don't know why people just don't step out, dry their particles, and then go to the toilet, or go to the toilet before they get in the shower. Seems easy enough. But as a bear, I'll piss and shit anywhere. I don't care.
So we're saying it's wrong?
It's wrong. Yes, correct. Wrong. You're right, it's wrong.
TikTok dances.
Wrong as fuck. I don't like TikTok dances.
No?
No, and I have a friend, and she does them very well. I don't know. I scroll up if I see them because I'm not bothered.
You don't dance, Bear?
Not really. No. Because normally there's a man hanging out the back of me,
and that's just on the weekends.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I say, Missus, what do you like? What do you like doing? I don't know.
Shoes without socks. Well, you're furry, so surely...
I don't wear shoes. I mean, off camera, I'll show you my bare feet, but I won't show them on telly. Not anymore.
No?
Yeah, I've got disgusting feet. But, I just think what happens is your shoe will become your sock, and then your shoe will forever smell like your sock, won't it? It's like some people that wear their trousers and go commando. That means your jeans are your underpants. Joe Swash.
Kissing your dog on the mouth.
Oh, yeah, you can kiss a dog on the mouth as long as it doesn't bite your tongue. I think kiss it. Love it.
But it licks its arsehole.
Yeah, sweet times. Do you kiss your dog on its mouth?
No, I do not.
Do you know what it is? I have a dog. and a squirrel. His name's Stephen. Do you don't think I do have a friend called Stephen?
No, I believe
you. What are you saying? I'm lying.
No,
do you not believe me? Do I look like I'm lying? What do I gain from saying I have a friend called Stephen and not having a friend called Stephen? I do have a friend called Stephen.
Okay.
Okay, you don't believe me? Do you not believe me?
What, is he a real squirrel?
Yes.
Does he speak English?
Of course not. He just makes random squeak noises, but I understand him. The answer is, I think it's right to kiss your dog. Love it, because one day it'll be dead.
Oh, now I feel guilty.
Don't feel guilty.
Jazzy shirts.
I like jazzy shirts. They're fun. They're right. They're good. Good.
Like them?
I like
right.
them. Right. Yes.
Colouring your ginger hair.
No.
Keep the ginge?
Keep it. Yes, keep it, yeah. Just be you, yeah. Be the authentic you. That's what everyone's about these days, yes. aren't they? Being an authentic.
Do you know any ginger people?
Stephen's ginger. Don't believe I know someone called Stephen, do you? He's ginger. He's a squirrel. He's one of the red ones that didn't get eaten by the grey ones.
Okay. I thought the red ones were extinct.
Well, I saw him this morning, so I must be making it up. There you go. You're saying I'm lying again. I saw him this morning.
Bleaching your arsehole?
Ooh. Actually, I think if it's your arsehole, do what you want with it, you know. Do you bleach yours?
I haven't, but I would like to.
It's your arsehole. Do what you want with it. How long does this go on for?
We're finished now.
Okay.
You can tell Stephen we're done.
She doesn't believe I know someone called Stephen. It's not an elaborate joke, is it, or anything? There's no gag, no punchline. It's not like I said I know someone called Gatticus, because obviously I don't know anyone called Gatticus. That sounds like I'm lying, doesn't it? Oh, I know someone called Gatticus. Do you fuck? No, I don't, but I do know someone called Stephen. It's a common name. Is that it, then?
That's it.
Goodbye.
Bye.